Chapter 14. Epilogue. Finally, evil has a name. In the summer of 2018, Joseph James DeAngelo was led into court. And for the first time, his victims laid eyes on the man accused of raping and terrorizing them or murdering their loved ones. Except this time, the victims could see his face. They knew his name. And he's the one who was bound.
I've struggled with this for 32 years, but I am glad that I can finally see who did it.
Jane Carson Sandler traveled from South Carolina.
I was sitting in the front row on the right side, and I began to sob, and I still don't know to this day. Why was I crying? Why was I sobbing? I've always been so strong. I've never broken down before. And my first reaction when seeing him was anger.
Debbie Domingo McMillan came from Texas.
That courthouse in particular is set up in such a way that his instructions are face forward, face towards the judge, do not make eye contact or engage or speak to anyone who is present in the gallery. Thank God for that safeguard because I wasn't worried about this 72-year-old man trying to do something physically to me. I wasn't scared in that way. But I had this apprehension just about what the vibe in the room would be if that ugliness, if that evil spirit was going to be something that I would feel.
And Margaret Wardlow came from San Diego.
I was sitting behind him and I could see his neck. And his neck has these deep sun wrinkles in it. And I just kept thinking, like, this guy's been out riding his motorcycle. He's been out fishing. And I was just catapulted back into the body and feelings of a 13-year-old girl. It was just horrible.
At the time of this recording, Joseph James DeAngelo is being held at a Sacramento County jail awaiting trial for murder and other charges.
Prosecutors can't charge Joseph James DeAngelo with rape due to statute of limitations, but they can charge him with kidnapping to commit robbery in 13 cases in Sacramento and Contra Costa counties in the late 70s. That's in addition to the 13 murders across the state for which he's already been charged.
My name is Anne Marie Schubert, and I am the district attorney of Sacramento County. So there's Tulare County, Contra Costa County, Ventura County, Santa Barbara County, Orange County, Sacramento County. You know, there's other counties that are involved that I don't believe are charged at this point, but it cuts across many counties. It really is historic. We all came together and formed a team. That team is representative of all of these cases, and so are these counties. This is a case of historic magnitudes that affected really the entire state.
I guess they had to consult the California Supreme Court to see if we could charge him with all the crimes in one jurisdiction, which will be Sacramento County. And they made the decision that could be done. And so I was there for that hearing and I started crying. It was too much. Once they started reading all the names of the murder victims and many of those families that I know, it was just too traumatic. From what I understand, my attack won't be part of those charges.
In California, kidnapping is defined as moving another person a substantial distance without that person's consent by using force or fear.
Number one, I was in my room the entire time. I was never moved from one place to another. And of course, the statute of limitations ran out long ago on my attack. And it's unfortunate because, you know, I was a child and a minor at the time, but it's still the same situation.
Prosecutors are looking at all the East Area Rapist attacks, including Jane's, to see which cases might be charged. All of the original Night Stalker murders will be tried.
I'm so glad it's over. I'm so glad it's over. And I can enjoy life. You know, now I got to figure out what I want to do with my time. I don't feel like talking about it anymore.
Now that that's over and done with, I survived that 3 minutes in the courtroom with him. Nothing tragic happened. The world didn't explode. I'm okay.
My tearful response before seeing DeAngelo in court surprised me. But I can honestly say again, I've met so many wonderful, caring people over the years. I remain in close contact with Inspector Shelby, Larry Crompton, Paul Holes, Carol Daly.
Carol Daly still talks with many of the victims she helped through the horrific first hours and days after their attacks. She's now retired, but her cell phone still buzzes with calls from the women she assisted.
I talked to Margaret, and she was always this very strong and defiant. And she went to court, and she saw the man who was responsible for her attack, and she fell to pieces. All of these victims who thought they had it all together, they see his picture, they go to court. Jane sobbed, cried and cried. And I have not gone to any of the court proceedings. I don't want to be there. I was at the press conference when they made the announcement. And one of the first questions, they said, well, what did you say when you saw his picture? And I said, I didn't look at his picture. What, you didn't see his picture? I'm not going to look evil in the face. There was not a night in 42 years that I went to sleep and did not think about these victims. I have never forgotten what it was like for them to lay in bed and open their eyes and see this masked figure at the end of the bed with a flashlight or a gun or a knife and telling them, don't move, don't move. And I worked some really horrific homicide cases. Some of them I remember, most of them I don't. But with the East Area Rapist, it's like I'm sitting down and interviewing a victim and I can remember everything that he did.
Even after Joseph DeAngelo's arrest, the original investigators, Larry Crompton and Richard Shelby, are still reassessing their work on the Golden State Killer case.
When I found out that he was arrested, I wanted to talk to him. I wanted to be face to face with him and ask him, what did I miss? What did I do wrong? What could we have done differently? Did I come close?
My wife and I were talking about what is evil. I view evil as the total absence of good. He's pure evil.
It's taken its toll. But I'm so happy for the officers that over the years have worked this as a cold case and were able to be there at the time of the arrest, you know, like Paul Holes. How great it would have been if we could have celebrated back then.
The original investigators spent years chasing around a shadow in the dark, never limited by competence or passion, only by technology and science.
I believe genetic genealogy will revolutionize the way we solve crime in this country and really in this world.
You know, if you take the Golden State Killer case, 40 plus years of investigation and all the resources and time that went into it and all the dedication of the investigators, both past and present, that worked on it, and then with using investigative genetic genealogy, we were able to solve it in a very short time period. It's definitely a game changer for sure.
This investigative genealogy tool has proven itself, not only in the Golden State Killer case, but now in other cases.
Well, I think there's no secret, but the NorCal rapist case was the most recent one.
The NorCal rapist was a two-decade-old cold case that was thought to be unsolvable. Following the success of the Golden State Killer case using genealogy, the same team at the Sacramento DA's office, Kirk and Monica, closed the NorCal rapist case in a matter of weeks.
An investigator on the case, Paul Holes, told San Jose Mercury News that GedMatch offered police a large pool of profiles and didn't require a court order.
I absolutely understand where individuals are concerned about their privacy.
Within some communities, there's a dislike of doing anything that smacks of being involved with, quote, government type things or putting things into databases like this.
They're reading in these newspapers, law enforcement accessing genetic information. I think it's important for these people to understand that at no stage in this investigative genealogy process are we accessing anybody's genetic information. Mm-hmm. In order to see their genetic information, I have to have their DNA profile. Their DNA profile is up in that database. There is no way for me to be able to download that DNA profile. I can't see it. All I'm getting out of the search of the database is how much DNA is shared between that person in the database and the Golden State Killer's DNA.
Despite privacy issues that some may have, it's hard to argue against the fact that investigative genealogy ultimately does good.
I gave a presentation in Burbank earlier this year, and a woman came up to me afterwards. She could barely talk. She was crying. And she said, thank you, thank you, thank you. She said, two of my friends were victims of the Golden State Killer. And she said, you don't know how much this has done for them, because basically for 30 years, they've been worried that he's going to show up and kill them. What I would really like to do is get the message out that if people want to help catch criminals, that they would please go out and do DNA testing someplace, any place, and upload their raw DNA data files to GenMatch.
Another message that I really like to convey to victims of violent crime is that someone perpetrated an evil act upon you, but you do not have to own that. You do not have to walk this earth carrying that with you all the time. You're not guilty of anything. You can move beyond that. There's life beyond that sort of black cloud.
Men, significant others, husbands that have been with a female when she was attacked, they also need therapy. They need therapy just as much as women do.
Try not to shut your family and friends out. It's important, and what I've learned these last few years, it's important, it is therapeutic, it is healing to seek answers and to seek out support, to talk to other victims and survivors, to stay close and connected to your own family, your own friends. There are several of us who have developed such close relationships that we call ourselves the sister survivors. They understand where I've been and what I've gone through. Our mission now is to build a network and to be there for each other and to be there for other survivors. And if you feel alone, trust me, you are not alone.
Many survivors of the Golden State Killer and the family members of his murder victims have found a way to move forward and live rich, fulfilling lives.
I have four kids, and they are 12, 14, 21, and 23. I have two boys and two girls.
I am married to a wonderful man from Texas. We have five grown children and five grandchildren. I work for the Texas prison system, and I've been in corrections for almost 15 years.
I'm a stay-at-home mom. Yeah, I have a daughter who's 19 now.
I'm happily married to a wonderful man. Besides living with him, I live with three cats and a dog.
It was a monumental scientific breakthrough that finally led to an arrest in the Golden State Killer case. But for many people who worked it, and for the victims they served, one name stands out.
He probably doesn't toot his own horn enough, but you know, if it wasn't for Paul, I don't feel like any of this would have happened.
Yeah, I can't say enough about Paul and really championing this idea.
That key decision from Paul Holes to pull out the Contra Costa cases and to take a closer look, I just thank the Lord every day that Paul did that.
Little did I know that back in 1994, when I first started digging into this East Area Rapist series, that it would end up consuming me and take almost half of my life to get to the point where we finally identified who that person was. I think about the victims that I developed relationships with over those 24 years and hearing their appreciation for finally knowing who had attacked them and seeing that there could be justice in their cases. It was well worth the time and effort. You know, I sit back now and take a look at it, and I recognize that it was quite an accomplishment. But this was an accomplishment that was done by multiple people. I was just fortunate that I met the right people at the right time, and the technology had gotten to a point to where we were able to close the case out. So I retired at the end of March 2018. I've recently learned that Joseph DeAngelo also retired at the end of March 2018. It looks like we literally may have retired on the same day. I would say my retirement is going a little bit better than his.
This Audible original series is dedicated to the many victims attacked by the Golden State Killer, their family members and loved ones, and the committed public servants who brought him to justice.
This is Evil Has a Name, an Audible original written by Paul Holes, Jim Clementi, Peter McDonald, and Mitch Hansen. Evil Has a Name was produced by Audible with XG Productions and executive produced by Jim Clementi, Peter McDonald, and Colin Campbell. This series was sound designed and mixed by Alex Bickroth and Sean Cromwell. Music provided by 21 South Music. Dialogue editing by Mike Thal. Field recording by Greg Stridham and Sean Cromwell. In-studio recording by Julian Nicholson, Glenn Ferguson, and Eric Cifuentes at the Invisible Studios in Los Angeles. Story consulting by Francie Hakes, Mariana Clementi, James Bruce, and Justin Wiley. XG's Chief Counsel and Business Affairs is Spencer Gordon. Archival audio courtesy of KOVR, Cap Radio Inc., and the Sacramento County District Attorney's Office. Special thanks to Maggie Murphy, David Bloom, Jessica Radburn, Jillian Moranga, Vanessa Harris, Kat Johnson, and Reed Armbruster. This series features the voices of Paul Holes, Jim Clementi, Jane Carson Sandler, Michelle Cruz, Debbie Domingo McMullen, Margaret Wardlow, Larry Crompton, Carol Daly, Richard Shelby, Larry Montgomery, Larry Poole, Steve Rhodes, Barbara Ray Venter, Anne-Marie Schubert, Nick Willick, Kirk Campbell, Monica Tchaikovsky, Bill Helms, Richard Mangang, and Natalia Bides-Correnti.